Chapter 48. Ron ate his dinner alongside Marjorie's bed. He'd stopped in the hospital cafeteria to get a couple of sandwiches so as to not make Marjorie feel badly about what she had to eat. He noticed that as he unwrapped his food, that Marjorie had not even taken the tin cover off of her meal. "Aren't you hungry, Mom?" His mother's face had guilt written all over it. Ron looked over into the wastebasket and saw a grease-stained and oily bag that had been crumpled. Then he looked back into his mother's face. She followed his eyes, and her face hardened. "Don't say anything, please. I was so hungry, and Lois was kind enough to bring me something." Ron shook his head. "What did she bring you?" Marjorie's face lit up. "An eggplant parm from the town tavern. They make the best sandwiches." "Great," said Ron, with a disgusted look on his face. "Is she too stupid to realize how dangerous that is for you right now?" "Don't be a bastard, Ronald. She was just doing me a favor. I just want you to get out of here and be healthy." Her face changed back from combative mother to little girl. "One nice sandwich isn't going to hurt anything, and it made me feel better." "Okay," said Ron. "I'm not going to lecture you, but promise me you won't have her mule that crap in here for you every day. Please." Marjorie said in a small, guilty voice, "I won't." He unwrapped his sandwich and began eating. "What did Dr. Gutberg say today?" "He kept on about that other test. You know who he reminds me of, don't you?" Ron looked at her with a lack of comprehension. She said nothing. He just kept chewing. "You were smart enough to be a doctor." Ron rolled his eyes. "Well, it's too late for that now." Marjorie's face returned her look of resolve. "You could do anything you wanted to do. Anything that you set your mind to doing." Ron grinned. "Well, obviously you were feeling better. Did my father stop by?" Marjorie shook her head. "Not today." But the question seemed to trigger a new topic that was brewing inside of her. "Have you heard anything from the other one?" Ron knew the other one was code for Robin. "No, Mom. That's over." "What about the mouse?" Ron laughed in spite of himself. "She isn't a mouse." "Well, have you heard from her?" Ron thought about the silent phone calls. "Not really." "She's a nice girl, Ronald. She just isn't for you." "Why?" Marjorie tilted her head to the side. "She's a little girl who needs someone to take care of her. And that's not what you want." Ron wondered if it was what he wanted. "When are you going to start seeing a nice girl?" Ron grinned at her. "When I find one. There are lots of nice girls who come in the ceramic shop." "Yeah," Ron said sarcastically. "That would be perfect for me." "You thought the mouse was artistic?" "Would you please stop calling her a mouse?" "I think there's some lovely girls who come in there," said Marjorie. "They might even be smart enough for you, if you gave one a chance." "Do you want me to start talking about the eggplant parm again?" said Ron with a tone of warning. When Ron left the hospital, he drove down to the French Maid. It had been a solid week of tutoring, and he'd gotten paid that day. For some reason, his father's words echoed in his ears about the difference between blacks and whites was that white guys didn't take their paychecks and go to bars and blow them on Friday nights. The place was packed, and Ron slid into his seat at the far corner of the bar. He ordered his wine and lit a cigarette. There were three girls on the stage, and the tall, short-haired brunette caught his eye. Ron was quite sure that he had never seen anything like her in his life. She had the ability to wrap her ankles in back of her head, and she would hold that position and stroke between her legs along the slit of her pussy until her lips puffed and the patrons could see the outline of her labial lips against the thin fabric. That drew noise from the usually very quiet crowd. They whistled, and their encouragement seemed to excite her to continue. She began to push the fabric inside of herself with her fingertips. Ron gawked. When she walked the bar a few minutes later, he gave her $2 and said, "You were something to see." She stroked the side of his face with her fingertips and said, "You're cute." A few minutes later, she was standing next to him, holding a drink, and said, "Want to give a girl a place to sit?" Ron stood quickly and offered his chair. She looked at him quizzically. "Don't you want me on your lap?" Ron blushed. One of the guys next to him chuckled and said, "You can sit on my lap, sugar." Ron sat back down on the bar stool, and she straddled his knee. He could feel the heat from between her legs through the fabric of his pants. It aroused him, and she could feel him hardening. "So what do you do for a living?" "I'm a teacher." She looked at him cautiously. "And what do you teach?" "English." "Always loved to read. Things had worked out differently. I wanted to go to college." "You're young," said Ron. "I have a kid, and it's not going to happen for me." "You never know," said Ron. "Things have a funny way of working out." "You married?" "No, I'm not. I live alone in a little three-room apartment that is all not that much." Ron was embarrassed when he told her this, but to his surprise, she smiled. "Some lucky girl's going to scoop you right up," she said. "Yeah," Ron laughed. "I'm a real catch." As the night went on, she danced, and Ron tipped her while she danced. And without him asking or buying her a drink, she came back to him. Ron looked forward to the ends of her sets. He felt himself getting drunk, but it felt so good to have a girl that was not really being bought wanting to sit with him. "So, where are you from?" asked Ron. "Long Island," said the dancer, who he now knew her name was Julie. "That's a long ride home." "Well, I probably won't go home tonight. I'm working early tomorrow. I'll stay around here." And she said this with a smile and twinkle in her eyes. Ron saw the twinkle of a question in her large mascara-rimmed eyes, smiled. During the next set, she seemed to be dancing only for him. She crawled on the stage for him. She turned herself into a pretzel for him. She bent over and looked through her legs and smiled and waved at him. Ron felt the room throbbing with sound that seemed to vibrate from the walls and the stage. After her set, she went into the dancer's dressing room and then came out with a small valise, wearing street clothes and a jacket. The jacket was form-fitting leather. She was wearing tight jeans, pale blue shirt. She had stood next to him, pressed against him. "It was nice to meet you." Ron spoke automatically. "Can I give you a ride somewhere?" Julie grinned widely and said, "I was hoping you would ask." In his car, Ron said, "Where do you want to go?" Julie gave him her best teasing grin and said, "Where do you live?" "Bloomfield." "I don't know where that is," said Julie. shrugging. Ron told her about 20 minutes up the highway. Isn't that a long ways to drive for a club? Ron nodded. I used to live around here. I like this club. Where are you working tomorrow? Some place called High Heels. It's in Paramus. Well, said Ron, where do you want me to take you? She didn't answer. She stared in the dark car, and Ron turned the key, started the engine, drove towards his house. This isn't something that I do all the time, said Julie. But you were so nice and easy to talk to that you just charmed the pants right off me. Ron slid his arm along the back of the bench seat, and she curled herself into him and brought up her knees and closed her eyes. Very soon she was asleep in the cradle of his arm. As he drove home, hoping that he had not committed some really stupid blunder. He showed her the bathroom, and she took a very long shower. She came out, wrapped in a towel. Ron was lying on his bed. His stereo was playing jazz. Bill Evans piano, Miles David trumpet, with John Coltrane on sax for the Kind of Blue album that had become a classic. He was still dressed and lying on top of the bed covers. Will you be nice to me? She said in a soft voice as she lay down next to him. I don't want it rough tonight. Just easy and sweet, okay? She snuggled into him and began to undo his pants and then his zipper, and then she had his cock out and was massaging it, and Ron was more than ready, and his penis stood up straight for her and very hard and hot. She covered him with her mouth and said, you don't have to do anything, baby. Just relax and enjoy. She moved her mouth up and down on him, and Ron slid his fingers through her short hair. He had never been with a girl who had short hair before. When she began to massage his prostate, Ron bucked his hips hard. He had never felt anything like that before. It was overwhelming. She felt him expand and lifted her face away and moved on his cock like it was a pump. He didn't have to wait long. Having watched her all night, and now the scent and feel of her naked and in his bed, along with that wonderfully, incredibly wicked thing she was doing in back of his scrotum and right below his anus, that made his orgasm shoot like an uncorked bottle of champagne. Afterward, she grinned at him and said, that was healthy. Ron wasn't able to speak. He felt his body purring. Must be so difficult for you guys to sit there and watch us do what we do and not have any way to relieve the pressure. Later, she produced a condom from her purse and handed it to Ron. Now, she said, you'll be able to take your time. Ron wanted her to get into that pretzel position, but he was afraid to ask about it. The night was going so well, and he didn't want a reminder of how they met. He did take his time, and she showed him how much she appreciated it. She did things with her abdominal muscles that were incredible. She could make her hard, lean belly flutter against him while he was inside of her. She could squeeze him so tightly with her legs that he was sure that he would have had trouble pulling out of her. The last thing that he wanted to do was pull out of her. This time, Ron remembered to call his tutoring appointments. He changed them till the afternoon and spent the morning in his bed, naked, drinking coffee, and exploring bodies with her. Then he drove her to Paramus. Thanks for letting me stay, Julie said. Do you want to give me your number? Asked Ron. Why? She said. So I can call you. Why would you call me? Said Julie. Ron looked at her and felt flustered. Julie took his hands and turned towards him and smiled. You're very nice. I have a kid. I have a boyfriend who helps me take care of my kid. Let's say this was what it was for. I was hot for you and you wanted me too. Now we go our separate ways. Ron felt a mixture of disappointment and relief. He knew that she was right. He just never expected her to say it.